Yeah, welcome to another edition of Google is Evil, and we're all doomed. Civilization is failing, blah, 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 and such, and so forth and whatnot. The memes of civilization are trivial and fake and based on silly lies. Let's all fly to Mars. Let's celebrate flying to Mars. As a what? The whole thing is just made out of fake stories, TV shows, TV commercials. It's all such trivial, very small amount of brain used to participate in civilization. I, on the other hand, barely climb up the edge of the side of the maze and look around and you can see what's happening, okay? That it's all just a game of manipulation, a game of reactive organism, machines, with really trivial and silly needs and desires and ambitions. I want to be a billionaire so I can be frivolous and wasteful. Yeah. It's just all, so crass. Now, I would argue that most people can smell, the rotting byproduct. They can smell the disease that exists in this thing called humanity. Not too hard to find. Not too hard to bang into it as you're live your life, because most babies are born in shit, frankly, and the majority of them probably resent it a little bit. The lack of advantages they had, the cheat that exists in the systems, and they're going to be pretty cynical, they're still going to play their video games, and they're still going to wallow in their part of the culture that they find some connection to, or there's a group of people, playing war of witchcraft or whatever. I'm totally gapped. Video games are dangerous, so I don't play with them because they're just a dangerous waste of time. I'm way out of that loop. But you can see, based on where people migrate, that they aren't at all positive games. I mean, they even now have like little Smurfy games, like little cute cartoon characters that shoot the fuck out of each other. And, this is in the ironic context where, there's a bunch of people wetting their little pink panties because somehow I'm violence audiating, whatever they call it. I'm somehow, promoting violence. I am? I don't think so. Oh, it's just so, sorry, it's every time you get one of those little irony rushes, where it's just so freaking stupid. It's kind of like when I listen to some of the, the anti-natalists who are just anti-human, and the life extinctionist, human extinctionalists. It's just, it's just so funny almost to wonder how they're all, panicked for the welfare of things, and yet they think it's a great plan, what nature has. It's just a great plan. I wonder if they would, vote to reintroduce mountain lions to New York City, because we kick them out. We give it back to them. There probably are idiots, if you put that on the ballot, there's idiots who would actually vote for it. Ugh. Sorry, any kind of train of logic that your brain attempts to do in trying to say, I'm having a conversation with human beings. Oh, what's the point? Because they're all crazy. But anyway, I'll try to see past that and get to some point. But I have to say that I'm as, undecided about direction of this video as any video I've made recently, I suppose, in the sense that I just don't have a theme. I mean, I don't have a destination. There's just certain observations. You read certain comments like, okay, oh yeah, well, it's all well and good, but it's impossible. People will never vote for it, so to speak. And do you really think they really wouldn't vote for it in the sense that you don't think there's a, the majority of people now don't have kids. You know, they can't even get in anything called a stable relationship. You know, and they kind of know that a stable relationship is sort of important to raising a kid, and so that wouldn't make much sense. And so there's lots of morons who do it by accident, you know what I'm saying? They think they have everything, and, you know, 6 months after they get married, they're divorced, and they have a kid. so they just, through recklessness, you know, make the decision. But, I mean, you know, I could argue that if you really polled the majority with the right question, you know, if you phrase the question carefully enough, you know, in terms of adding enough of the crap about how statistically this is what we're turned into, you know, that the average kid ends up, you know, disabled, you know, by 50, you know, by obesity or some other indulgence, you know, diabetes, all this other crap. You know, and that they don't live charmed lives, and they don't experience charmed deaths, and you know, it's all really expensive, and you know, all the tiny number of people who actually end up functional, you know, because you know, everybody's Aspergered, everybody's you know, fucked up in some way, everybody's got some sort of autism, you know. So there ain't too many. There's the pool of functionals is getting smaller and smaller as a percentage of, you know, the statistical outcomes. Do you really think it's going to be that hard to, you know, get people to vote to say, hey, yes, we should only allow people to have kids when they have a really good reason? You know, and is there any such thing as a really good reason? So, I mean, you get them to vote for a prohibition by just, you know, writing the prohibition in the right language. And I think we're already there, that, you know, I think most people are not, you know, without any inhibition, enthusiastically looking at what the future is going to be. They have some recognition, some understanding that, oh, the resources are getting limited and the corporations are controlling and blah, 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 and all these things that are happening, and the whole economies are going to get screwed up because all this global warming is going to cause mass migrations and all kinds of mess. It's not going to be smooth sailing, you know. And there's lots of you know, opportunity for big disasters, and even these stupid little coronavirus kind of just demonstrates how vulnerable we are to some little bug, you know, really messing up the systems. You know, and that's not even getting into all the pollution and all the, you know, all the crap that's going on. So, yeah, you know, as long as you keep people focused on what they're voting for, and being pro-life, yeah, I don't think it's that. I don't think there's any facts to indicate that. Oh, it's just highly improbable that people will ever, as a majority, vote for suspension of stupid optimism. You know, say you can't. You know, just like jaywalking, you can't stupidly optimize. Not optimize. God, you see, optimism and optimize somehow are connected words, and they really shouldn't be. But anyway, you can't do that, okay? You can't be optimistic with other people's welfare. You know, that's being irresponsible. You have to be practical and honest and, you know, blah, blah. So, I mean, part of me, you know, and then there's the nihilist arguments, you know, where they just kind of pretend there isn't any clear vision of a, you know, what the truth is, you know, about our existence, what we are. So, I mean, there was some guy who pointed out something about, you know, back to symbiotic crap and, you know, finding the description of living things as parasites, you know, unacceptable, and somehow they have some sort of evidence that everything isn't just parasiting, that everything on Earth doesn't extract its living by exploiting something else. It exploits, it takes advantage of, it diminishes its existence in some way or other. And that's the nature of nature, that evolution isn't fun park, that it really is mass murder of juveniles, that it is the worst case scenario of bad ideas in terms of the criminal act of taking very innocent things, puppies and kittens, and squishing them to death. It's really, really bad, and that's, again, the human extinctionists just don't get it, that somehow they want to put nature back in charge, where human beings would watch 9 out of 10 of their kids die. Those kind of numbers are realistically, 1 out of 7, maybe you'd say. You'd have lots, they die before they reach maturity. And so you'd have to, as a parent, watch all of that. And that would all be part of the fun, of endeavoring to persevere on Earth. The life struggle, the circle of fun. The circle of, toilet swirling to your doom. It's just so bad. When you really think about what we're stuck in and what we're participating in, it is just ludicrous. I mean, if people could just even understand the simple idea that they're not free willing, that they're just a robot that's been programmed by a bunch of TV commercials and other bullshit. And yes, they see through those, I'm smart enough to see that that's corrupt and blah, 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 blah. But you're not smart enough to see that your understanding of its corruption is just as corrupt. That it's completely dependent on you having like a United States flag in your brain or some other propaganda, and that you're seeing it through a bunch of bigotries, that you didn't create, that are just byproducts of what you've been exposed to, somebody took you on a little nature walk and you got to pet some leaves, and you became a leafophile. And that's why you're caught up in this bullshit. But you're just a wacky program running. You're just a robot, that's been built to function in a world that has certain, whether it has round obstacles or square obstacles or triangular obstacles, we're all built to suit the environment we've maturated into. There's people who live in like the coldest places on Earth and stuff, and they have a whole ritual built around that crap of being in the terribly cold, horrible place, and they have a little life. And they're living it just like you're living yours, but you would find it, what the fuck? You wouldn't want to live 10 minutes of it. I mean, it's all just about putting a coat on and taking a coat off all day. Like 80% of your day is used up just fighting the awful elements that you're living in. And all the rituals you have to go through to survive. And you're just like, whoa. I don't want to live in this place where they take their shoes on and off 643 times a day. I mean, what a waste of time just taking shoes off. Oh, put shoes on, take shoes off, put shoes on. I mean, how can I get any work done? I'm just saying the reaction would be is that, but they're niche to it. They're adapted to it. And we all just adapt to some sort of silly story in our head that somehow makes what we're doing sensible. We think we're winning in some way. I'm defeating the environment. I am moving the triangles and all the places I need to move them to navigate. I'm doing okay. Yes, I'm not the greatest, but I'm okay. I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. Everybody's got some notion in their head that they're functioning on some level, getting somewhere. And it's all a story. It's all Little Red Riding Hood bullshit. It's not, they're not really living in the real world. because they're not seeing the real world as it really is, you know, which is a bunch of cellular little machines that are attempting to process energy for movement. You know, that the real mechanism is the creation of the monsters, because the monsters can go out into the world and stomp things and grab things and consume them and process them. And all of these symbiotic organisms, these organs that have agreed to work with each other, you know, liver cells and heart cells and all the, you know, they're basically just parasiting off of each other's function, and they're living in their own little world. I mean, a liver cell just lives in the liver. You know, it doesn't know anything about being a brain cell or being something else. You know, it's just acting and reacting in the silly little world it exists in. And that's all we're doing as humans. We're living in this little tiny world, you know, built by whatever conceptions we can, you know, ideas, imaginations of the world. So people think, well, I've imagined traveling on a light beam, therefore I'm doing advanced human thinking, you know, and I've surpassed most humans, and I'm really going into the next dimension of thinking, and you know. And yeah, no, that's just another silly little story. Yes, it's nice that you think about how the physical universe works and understand a few pieces of it, but you really don't understand it. If that's what you're wasting your time on, is imagining sitting on a light beam. Because what you really should be imagining is being a fly maggot or something. What you should be imagining is all the states that aliveness exists in, and how insanely meager the ambitions are, and how tiny and small the world is they're living in, and how you would hate to have your brain so humiliated as to be just a drone in some kind of drone war. So I guess that's where you can get to some bigger social metaphors, social memes even. You know, the Star Wars movies, you know, where they, you know, they sort of did illustrate, which was good, you know, in the newer movies, that this, you know, that there isn't much separation between the synthetics you could make and the human versions. And that the idea that they're just going to be in conflict, that there's always going to be the conflict, that you can never escape the conflict, because it's all you take or you lose kind of world, the universe. The fact is there are these, you know, a certain amount of resource and a certain amount of feeders, and there's always more feeders than there are food kind of thing. And that's evolution. And the whole thing is to what? To create little monsters, really. I mean, there's nothing outside of being a kind of Frankenstein. And so if you have that kind of understanding, that we're all just the manifestations and byproducts of a bunch of, you know, evolution of structure and a few ideas, and that the ideas are so trivial, you know, racism, nationalism, nepotism, you know, I mean, they're so trivial. That's all quite humiliating, to be a participant in something that's just so crude and unthoughtful in its overall function in the maze. It's just still reacting, okay, to the little pieces, you know, like, jump over the precipice. There's a 5-foot thing and you have to jump over it, or you have to build a bridge to get over it, and then there's swinging axes and you have to figure out how to time it and get through the swinging axe. I mean, it's just some trivial, you're caught up in the trivial little challenges of life, and you know, not seeing at all that the destination is brick wall or 500-foot drop off a cliff, or you know, the walls just collapse and squish you. That there's no winning. You're never going to get to your promised land. You know, There's no oasis. There's no, island with the palm tree and the hammock and blah, blah, blah. None of it's sustainable. None of it's obtainable in any form that isn't some tacky 5-day cruise bullshit, okay, that will be, again, just covered in, mediocrity. And it won't be the memory you're hoping for. Yeah. All right, I'll take a pause and see if I go anywhere more pointed. All right, I'm back. But still, nothing solid percolating through the brain. So I was just thinking about how glib people are. And that's what you're really fighting, is just some glib notion, of this circle of life thing. The whole idea that all of this attrition, all of the negatives that happen, all the bad things are somehow worth it, and that we're so, we're running such a profit that we can afford to suffocate to death and do all these things that, people are doing, they're living pretty brutal existences and then, dying really slowly, and that all that is nothing. It's, chemotherapy, all of the bullshit, it's all nothing. It's a minor expense, you're just tiny little nothing compared to the big win of, I don't know. Yes, so that's the part where I'm, whoa, what? Where was the big win? What was the big fun? They played the video game and beat their previous score and had a feeling. I don't know. So I'm just become, I have personally become more and more aware of how there's no equity in this exchange you're making. There's no profit in the game at all, because this is the very thing you want to avoid, is all of that bad stuff. And, I've become more sensitive than less sensitive through just the process of contemplating my own demise, and recognizing that there's not too many paths, where you minimize this problem until you can overcome your resistance to an imperfect death. And so you're really just measuring, well, I really don't want to blow a hole in my head with a bullet and have it explode all my little bits out and do all that kind of stuff. That just doesn't seem very nice. It made my eye pop out or something. And, but I mean, obviously you have to, think it through and recognize that, well, no, you are not going to really know any of that happened. And so it's really not going to matter, once the bullet has erased part of you. And disconnected the structure, it's not going to be a concern of yours anymore, because you are the structure. You have to come to grips with some idea that, okay, well, I'll take control and I'll be ready, and I'll get out some graceful way. But part of me knows that I'm really not doing any of that, and I'm really not in as control as I need to be. And, because it's part of the whole unpleasantness of having to accept any part of it. So it was sort of like that. I mean, when I think back to, I was a right-to-lifer, right-to-die advocate very early in my life, because, I was, suicidal at 13 or whatever. I was pretty ready to, drive off a cliff somewhere. But that was the whole point. None of the available means of death seemed to me at all satisfactory. It was all like, why should I have to do any work to die? I mean, why should I have to pay a fee to get to the exit? That was how I was kind of thinking about it. I mean, I didn't ask to be thrown into this room, this auditorium, this movie. I've decided the movie is repulsive, okay, and I really don't want to participate in it. it's disgusting. All of the, maneuvering and all of the shenanigans. you know, life on so many levels is so corrupt and cheaty that why would we want to play this game? I mean, even if I could think there was some point in me applying my skills to the task, you know, even though the part of me felt compelled to be competitive and to win, I knew that winning came at this compromise price where you have to be a liar and a shyster and a crook. You know, you have to sell things for a profit. You know, you have to do all this stuff where you have to create or exploit somebody else's need, you know, to profit yourself. You have to, everything, every energy, every bit of something you're going to have, you essentially have to, you know, sort of extract it, steal it from somebody. And it's all a theft game. And so, yeah, I didn't want to play that. Homie, don't do that. And so I was looking for an exit, you know. But yeah, you're kind of, I don't hate it. I didn't hate myself. I wasn't, you know, all this psycho babble about people who are suicidal hating themselves. There wasn't anything wrong with me. I knew the world was corrupt and silly and stupid and smelly and underdone, that the whole civilization was way undercooked and festering with all kinds of corruptions, bacteria. My advocacy was based on the fact that I thought I deserved better. That was part of it. It was part of the whole thing seemed very insulting to me that you would expect me to have to blow my brains out. Why should I have to do that? And then, you know, once you see a few movies where you see it done right, like the curious movie was Soylent Green, you know, because I expected in watching, you know, in reading the book, I had one kind of reaction because the book really doesn't, well, the book really didn't. I guess it was maybe I was just a poor reader. I don't know. It's hard to say. But yeah, I sort of got the, oh, isn't it awful part from reading the book. But when I saw the movie, and you see how well the old guy dies, not even that old, Robinson, what the hell's his name? Yeah, I forgot. Jeez, I hate this getting old thing. Anyway, really great actor. So who played sort of the scientist type. And, you know, he just said, fuck it, it's time to go. You know, too many people, too stupid a life, I'm getting the hell out of here. And they provided a very nice and graceful exit. You could just go and, you know, put your card in the machine, so to speak, and they would kill you by showing you images of the whatever you wanted to see, and, you know, you would, you know, beautiful music, and you would just gracefully slide out of your existence. And boy, I envied that. I said, shit, that's the choice I should have, is to get out of here more gracefully than I got in here. You know, with some smooth, you know, just, I shouldn't have to, it shouldn't be any fee involved. I shouldn't have to endure any angst or worry or fear or any of that crap, and I should just slide gracefully into the light, you know, and complete my misadventure here on Earth. And then, you know, also the ending of the movie, you know, seemed so much, so stupid in a sense, because I was, you know, now I was smart enough, I guess it was just I was older, and so I could appreciate that. What makes perfectly good sense to eat dead people? What the fuck? If you have no resources, why not? I mean, eating them's kind of silly. You could make them into buildings, or you could do, there's probably other things that human parts are good for. You know, because they're not very nutritious and all that. There's not all that many calories. You know, you're better off making food out of, you know, horse manure or something, which is just as easy. So yeah, do that. I said, what's the big deal? I mean, if you can make a potato chip out of anything, you know, if you can make it out of vomit, I'd eat it. Who cares? Okay. You know, if it tastes like a potato chip, you know, and it does its nutritional job, who cares? I mean, what it's made out of. We're all made out of shit. We're all, you know, right now there's little atoms that were, you know, a brontosaurus's anus, you know, swirling around in your eyeball or something. I mean, you're covered in things that used to be something else. So, no big deal. And so the whole movie kind of lost all of its, you know, all of its intended shock value was completely anti-shock now. And it was like the I was in the funny position of being on the side of the corporation and saying, well, the corporation is just being rational. You know, it's just doing what needs to be done. You know, and that was kind of an unpleasant realization that, you know, sometimes, you know, people are the problem, not the corporations. But obviously, I would argue that the corporate structure is just another manifestation of a group of people. And so it's their group agenda that gets imposed on some other group. But I don't, you know, that gets into politics, and it's probably quite futile to enter into any of that crap. So, the underlying point was that this just seems so logical, especially back then, that this shouldn't even be a hard argument to make. I mean, what kind of moron votes for a death worse than it should be? And so I've sort of, yeah, so I guess maybe that's a direction to go in, is just do some of this right to die stuff, because it's just, you know, this is such an evidence of a dysfunctional civilization. If it can't even figure out that, well, if the thing that is you're trying to preserve doesn't want what you're preserving, why would you impose it? I mean, it's too stupid to say somebody who wants to die needs to live. Well, how could they possibly need it if they don't want it? I mean, that just doesn't make any sense right on its face, that you can't really make, they have a need to live, but they don't want to. I mean, you know, that's just, it's just too stupid. Like, there's some underlying need that they don't know they have, that they have, you know. And all they're really saying is that, well, if we beat them up with a hose and we do all kinds of reconditioning, we can get them to say, oh, I'm glad you saved me. Maybe you can do that. You know, maybe you can give them some sort of, you know, false narrative where they'll change their story and now say, oh, yes, I did really need to live. I just didn't want to. I mean, come on, too stupid. So they're rescuing people who don't want to be rescued. They're not on fire and they're trying to put the fire out or that kind of, you know, it's so stupid. You know, it's just like, I mean, there's probably some perfect analogy I could use of, you know, like tearing the building down to, you know, fix one crooked 2x4, you know, or some kind of stupid analogy where it just doesn't make any sense. You know, that the what you're sacrificing, that is imposing all kinds of horrible, unnecessarily harsh, nasty symptoms, a bunch of bad experiences. You're imposing kind of the worst that life can impose in terms of unmitigated pain and, you know, fear and terror and, you know, just awful experiences. And you're sacrificing fixing that to rescue something that doesn't need rescuing, you know, to stop somebody falling off a cliff when they're 300 miles from the cliff. You know, it's just, it's so insensible. It's so backward. It's so illogical that you're saying, how? You know, why can't this get fixed? And the reason why this can't get fixed is because this never gets on the ballot either. You know, we never get to vote on it. So the political system always hacks it to pieces. You know, the moral majority who gets to own the whole Republican Party kind of thing. You know, the small minority opinions that get to control big blocks because they have enough voice to extort. You know, and that's all it comes down to. They just extort the political solution. But if it was put to an actual vote, an actual referendum, you know, people obviously, especially if it's worded correctly, would vote for it. But instead, what we get are fake solutions, you know, that have so many hoops in them that nobody ever survives the hoop jumping to get to their, you know, sanctioned death. You know, and then they do it in all kinds of subtle ways. If you're in the nursing home long enough, they'll kill you, I guess, you know, if they're not making money on you. You know, some racket like that. To their advantage to let you slide, they'll let you slide. But if they got some money involved or some other industry And that was another part of it, right? Was the it was so duplicitous of the medical association. But you're saying these are all these doctors, they all know what evolution is. They know life is, you know, bullshit. You know, they know a lot of these facts of life. You know, they're not as ignorant as the other puddle heads on Earth. And you're just saying, look at their duplicity. I mean, they're only against this because it's to their financial interest to keep the dead people alive, to keep practicing on them, practicing their medicine. And it was a huge blow to their own economic interests if they get rid of this die sloppy thing, because the die sloppy thing is, you know, sends a huge amount of financial resources into the medical industry, and they're dependent on that. And you know, that's, and that was just another recognition of why people are just so despisable, because here you're saying these doctors see all of this suffering, they know how bad it is, they see it every day. And yeah, the only way they can see it every day is they have to be a little bit glib about it. So yeah, they don't, okay, it doesn't affect them as like it would affect me. But still, they know, and they just didn't care. They just don't care, you know, and they'd sit there and, you know, sit there and proclaim as an industry, we're opposed to it. Not for any good reason, just because it's in our financial interest to be opposed to it. You know, so that's one of those little facts that sits in your brain and just starts making it clearer and clearer how corrupt humans are, you know, how much they are selfish cunts. And, you know, and then you start saying something that, that somebody else will quote mine out of your video. I mean, it's like, you can't kill enough of them fast enough. I mean, they're just such pieces of shit. I mean, that kind of corruption should be a crime, okay? And if we had a real civilization, there would be some kind of, you know, mechanism that just said, oh, fuck you, you hypocrite. You know, hypocrisy and duplicity like that would be something that just shouldn't be something a human does. We shouldn't be that fake. We shouldn't be that selfish. We shouldn't be that subjective in how we expect the world to work. We shouldn't be forcing to engineer it to work to our satisfaction. You know, create the diseases that we're immune to. You know, that kind of, you know, oh yeah, it's okay to do genetic engineering as long as I'm immune to all the diseases you might cause or something like that, right? I mean, we'd be for it if we're immune, but if we're not immune, then we're against it. I mean, it's, you know, there's so much of that happening in our civilization where it's just all of these corrupt self-interests and none of these people care. And then that was also illustrated by the anti-abortion people. You know, the pro-lifers were such hypocrites. They didn't care about any of these fetuses. They didn't care about any of the babies. You could see them trying to end welfare and end anything. You know, they're trying to stop all of this, public concern for the welfare of children. Wherever there was any public concern, wherever there was a place to definance an orphanage or a mental institution or definance any social infrastructure, they're all for that. And yet they're pro-life. Yeah, they're pro-saving fetuses. For what? For a doomed existence as, you know, as a, you know, being the property of a, you know, a welfare hooker? You know, a single mom with no skills and barely a brain? You know, most of the babies aborted are not, you know, they weren't headed for a special wonderful life. Okay, they were headed for a pretty horrible life. And so these people didn't care about kids, they didn't care about babies, they don't care about souls. You know, all they did was resent people who had sex. I mean, that's what it came down to. So all these repressed people who living in these crappy lives, married to dysfunctional husbands and all this other stuff, and they're just resentful that there might be somebody else living a free and liberated life. And, you know, because they're not in the same ball and chain, doesn't, you know, isn't you know, making raw skin on somebody else's ankles. They just resent their privilege of not being stuck in shit by choice. And they want to try to stick everybody in the same shit. You know, they want to force everybody else to live a life as meager as theirs. And that's all it was about. It wasn't about any frickin' I'm trying to help. Yeah, no. It's I'm trying to cripple. I'm trying to force everybody else to have the same disabilities I have, or some kind of crap like that. Which, yeah, and it just makes it, you know, clearer and clearer how, you know, damn. You know, this isn't even a place to have a good argument, because people can't even have a fair argument. They can't even do that right. You know, it's just the truth. People really can't have, they really can't do it. You know, everything is now sabotage and, you know, one-liners and, you know, draw an ugly picture of the person. So that's been around a long time. But, yeah, that's the tactic of the human race. Draw an ugly, funny picture, okay, and you've defeated the idea because you drew an ugly picture of the person who spoke of it. You know. It's so fucking... Ugh. Yeah, it's just evidence of poor functionality. That's how base and low this precious human consciousness, you know, it's supposed to be such a precious thing, us little humans floating through the universe doing this contemplating thing, and most of the contemplating is trivial and crass and cheaty and dishonorable. And, ew. That in itself is enough commentary. All right, take a pause and see if there's some way to finish this up. I'm back. Crocodile teeth. You know, right there. You know, well, what we were accomplishing, again, what are the tools? What's the mechanism? What's the objective? Is just some, you know, we're good at, like, putting and, you know, our short game versus our driver. You know, this is, you know, like, if you use some sports metaphor, what we're good at, and applying it to a world and then saying, there, I successfully applied whatever skills I have to a world. So I can sort of say that I've done that. I can just see that in my own maturation through my existence was, okay, once I realized I'm stuck here until I'm going to have to wait to get my perfect death, the death I deserve. Okay, so it was a vain thing in some respects. I thought I deserved better than a bullet in my head or being thrown off a cliff or jumping in front of a car or jumping off a building. I deserved better than that. Okay, so that was part of my resentment. Part of the reason why I lived was because I resented not having better options. And I was going to fight for them because there was a fight worth fighting. And so that's what I'm sort of saying is that, you know, are the fights that most people are fighting worth fighting? You know, are their ambitions, do their ambitions have anything to do with making the world a better place? Or are their ambitions just about getting to where they want to be personally? Okay, the life they think that's going to satisfy them. And we know that all this satisfaction thing doesn't really work out because we see it on the people who are supposed to have everything. You know, they won the Heisman Trophy and they did this and they did that. They did all this stuff and didn't matter because some trivial thing trips them up and, you know, they end up cutting their wife's head off or doing some other kind of stupid ass bullshit because they can't control, you know, they can't maintain their status and their place in the world. They trip over bullshit. You know, just trivial bullshit trips them up. They fail and crash and burn and do all of that crap. So, you know, are most of these ambitions worth anything? Or are the only thing that's really worth anything is trying to migrate the next versions of ourselves to exist in a world that doesn't have stupid ideas, you know, that is allowed to say no mas, you know, I don't see what you're seeing. Okay, you're seeing some purpose in this existence. I'm not seeing it. And especially saying that in some way where you're not using people. I mean, some people would vote against the right to die because, well, then all the people living meager lives doing all the hard work, you know, all of them will kill themselves and we won't have any people to pick up our garbage and do all the other crap. Because they'll say, no, mas, no thank you. I don't want your shitty position in your shitty civilization. I don't want to be, in the lower Borg rung, you know. Fuck you. Yeah, they'll say fuck you to the bargains, the terrible bargains, the terrible contracts you oblige people to sign, you know, for the charm of existence. But they're that crass, again, where they don't want to give people a right because the right will mean that somehow, well, I can't, you know, get people to do a bunch of, can't get them to cut my grass for cheap, and I can't get this, and I can't, you know. And that's it. That's all they're thinking about. So how does it affect them? You know, how is their life diminished by saving somebody else from unnecessary hardship, struggle, pain, suffering that they don't think is purposeful and productive and valuable? So anyway, so my focus sort of became on the system. You know, and I'll say it, I'm a civilizationalist. I don't believe you can do this in some uncivilized way. So in spite of the fact that I get labeled as some guerrilla warrior in favor of some violent antics, I've clearly articulated I'm a civilizationalist. I don't believe in protest even. I mean, I don't believe in protest in the way that people protest, you know, where they stand in front of somebody's business and block the door or some other bullshit. That's extortion. That's not protesting. That's extortion. You're not just voicing an opinion. You're not trying to change the political system. You're trying to physically inhibit, and you're trying to break, and you're trying to, you know, you're forcing your opinion to be heard. You're not earning your being heard. So I don't care for any of that stuff. And yet I'm called the violent one, the aggressive one. You know, when no, I'm not for any of that crap. You know, and I'm clearly stated I'm against it. But clearly I am also guilty of joking now and then that, you know, we should make, you know, robot cars, you know, self-driving cars that just run over jaywalkers. You know, that's their only mission. You know, we should just send them out and say, go find a jaywalker and run them over. So yeah, I will make a joke like that. Okay, I'm not serious. You know, I don't think they really should do that. But yeah, I think you have to understand, if you want a civilization, people have to have respect for civilization. And that should be one strike against somebody right there, right? As soon as you say, you know, as soon as you commit the trivial crimes against civilization, you know, then you're, you know, it is a, whatever the term they use for, God, see, all of that stuff just disappears. You know, when they're talking about drugs, it's a gateway drug. Yeah, jaywalking is a gateway crime. You know, all of these are just, you know, the next level. What's the next level of your will to break the system? You know, break the idea of what civilization is going to require. And, you know, I've made whole videos on the subject that, you know, you're not going to survive the future. So that's the funny part, right, is that these people defending life have no plan to get through the future, you know, with nanotechnology and, you know, all kinds of, the technology is going to be so destructive in its capacity that one individual is going to be able to essentially build a Death Star, you know, and, you know, menace the entire universe. So that's the only way it ends, you know, in terms of that's what technology will provide. And if you don't have some system that keeps your civilians, that, you know, limits their capacity to acquire all this individual power, you're doomed, because you're not going to be able to control the aberrant brains and, you know, the ones that are really, you know, distorted and psychotic, and they will use the resources you've provided against you. That's what's going to happen. And, you know, people just have no perspective and no vision that, well, yeah, the future is going to require more obedience, not less. Okay, it's not going to make you freer. It's going to have to make you less free, just because of as a pragmatic fact, because power, technology is power. But anyway, you know, people can't even get that. You know, there's so many, sorry. But yeah, most humans are just so damn dumb. It's, you know, it's hard to, you know, it's just, you know, you're just saying, what's the point of talking about anything if they can't get this simple stuff right? But anyway, you have to just endeavor to persevere, so that's what I'll do. But anyway, that's probably enough of a video. So, yeah, so, sorry, a little bit rambly, all over the place, blah, 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 but so what? It had stuff in it. It wasn't, you know, some useful bits, no doubt. Something you personally haven't heard before, maybe. Who knows? But whatever. It is what it is. It's what my brain processed in this period of time, you know, in the history of the evolution of human organisms. Blah, blah, blah. It's a record of that, anyway. One individual brain regurgitating what it's processed out of the environment. Anyway, till the next time. Beep, beep, boop, boop. That's all. Yeah, it's just a bunch of beeps and boops. Okay, till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. Well, this has been a Google is Evil video production and such. It's really donotgod.com, but whatever. The point is that even this piece of our civilization is just so flawed to allow this slimy marketing company to control access to information on the internet is just too stupid. Ugh, pathetically stupid.